success is going, because you know that God knows everything, because you're on mission. Question is, do he know you?
Yes.
Bible says that some preachers gonna hit up.
Amen.
Last day, stand before the Lord, and you're gonna say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew.
Yeah.
Lord, we preach for you.
Yeah.
Lord, we prophesy for you.
Yeah.
Lord, we sing for you.
Oh, yes.
Lord, we visited folk in your name.
Yeah.
You say, no, nah, you did it in your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better make sure.
Amen.
That your name is. Come on, sister.
Yes. Yes.
That's why, Father, as we come now, it is so good to know you.
Yes.
To know God, that you are loving God.
Yes.
That you're caring and compassionate. Then, God, on top of that, you are not only merciful and graceful,
mm-hmm.
but, Father, you are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do and subdue. Father, if we stand in awe of you this morning, we just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
God, as we come this morning, as our praise and our worship, hopefully at the point of preaching, we will come in contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
We will learn more about you. We will learn more about ourselves and what we need to do and what we do not need to do. But whatever happens, God, our prayer is that you get the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now as I stand here, God, as your broken, finite vessel, I ask you, God, to strengthen me where I may be weak. Give me focus, God, where I may be out of kilter.
Mm-hmm.
But then, God, anoint my lips of clay.
Yes.
Hide me behind the cross, God, that people may see Jesus and not mine.
Yes.
God, I love you today, and I know that your word will accomplish what it's set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bless those under the sound of my voice, God, that whatever their lot is in life,
mm-hmm.
that today they will be blessed.
Yes.
Today they will be strengthened.
Amen.
Today they will be delivered. Today they just might get healed.
Yes.
Today something good just may happen.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer today, Lord, is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart,
mm-hmm.
I pray, have been acceptable in your sight.
Yes.
Truly, O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name I do pray. Let the faithful of God say,
amen.
This morning I invite your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23. When you find it, I want you to rest in your feet, because y'all been sitting out there this morning, red and hungry. I know y'all, some of y'all have been in the country kitchen. Y'all ain't looking right this morning. Somebody had some pancakes and grits or something, y'all ain't looking right this morning. Either that or you stayed out last night. You stayed up. Something happened last night. So I'm going to try to get this over with. Ain't that right, Miss Mary, so we can get on to the house. Ain't that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It reads, I'm reading from the King James this morning. It says, for I have received of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that would also I deliver unto you.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had given thanks, he brake it.
Mm-hmm.
And said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Yes.
As you take your seat, I want to talk to you from a subject this morning so you won't forget.
Amen.
So you won't forget. You talk about want.
Mm.
Not talking about W-A-N-T. That's a desire to have something.
Mm-hmm.
But that one with the contraction in the teeth is the will not.
Mm-hmm.
I will not forget.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all owe me something for that.
Yes.
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 And not only I won't forget, saying you won't forget implies that you will remember. Let me say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that you won't forget implies that you will remember. Forget means to neglect.
Yes.
Forget means to not remember, not think about what has been done for you.
Mm-hmm.
But not only remember, but forget. Remember means to recall.
Mm-hmm.
Means to replay in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
To think about what has been done for you.
Yes.
Because if you don't think about some people who have blessed you, now I'm talking about God now, I'm talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get so used to folk blessing us and being good to us that we forget to say thank you.
Yes.
And in the midst of being so used to the person blessing you that you forget to bless the blessor.
Yes.
And then you start blessing the blessing that they give you. In other words, you're not blessing the creator. You begin to bless the creature.
Yes.
If somebody give you a piece of money, you're looking at the money. And you forget about the fact that somebody had to work for that money. And somebody slaved for that money, and they decided to part with that money and give you that money.
Yeah.
And somebody just give you a half of a sandwich. They didn't really have to do that. Amen. If somebody come by to visit you, they really did not have to do that. If somebody walked past you and say good morning, they didn't necessarily have to say good morning to you. But they thought enough of you to look at you and to think of you and to say good morning, to impart something good in you. Because there's so many negative people that would impart negative stuff in you. That's for somebody right here. Stop remembering the negative and start remembering the goodness of what is happening to you. So you don't forget. Now, one for my wife, I'm going to tell you right now, I love her. Because your pastor would forget his head if it wasn't a tape. I leave keys, I leave hats, I leave Bibles. Every church I preach in, there's a hat there with my name on it. There's a Bible there that one of you all gave me. There's something of me that I left. My wife and I left here going to Texas, amen, and we were prepared to go. Packed for the trip, thought of the boarding passes, had the reservation down, everything we were supposed to do. Get to the airport. When you check, you go through TSA, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about them searching me, calling me out the line and everything. I ain't even make it to the line. We got to the line. Tracy showed them my reservation. They said, let me see your ID. I never go anywhere without my ID. I just told you, I forget some stuff. Michael Thompson never forgets his ID. Man, I'm looking all in my wallet. I did not find my ID. Y'all know what happened? My wife said, don't worry about it. Reached in the bag and pulled my passport out. When she pulled my passport out, they said, oh, yeah, that's him. Come on in, sir. And later on, when I got inside, I'm still troubled now. You know, they take your belt off. You take your shoes off. You're just about naked when you get to the other side. When I get to the other side, y'all, and I finally sit down and get my shoes back on, I said, I know my ID is in here. I looked in my wallet. I went to the doctor the day before, and my license was stuck between that and my medical card, so I couldn't find it. In other words, it was out of place. And so today, as we celebrate communion, that's what communion does. Communion for the Christian church identifies you with Christ. Because a whole lot of people say they are Christians. A whole lot of people say they believe in Jesus and the work he did, but they don't identify with who he is. Now, a whole lot of the Catholic Church has seven different ordinances. United Church of Christ, we only have two. Baptism and communion. Baptism is an outward showing to people that you have laid your old life aside. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me.
Yeah.
You go down in the water, you come up out the water to allow the Lord to overtake your mind and to overtake your heart so you can live different and you can treat folk better.
Amen.
Communion is a reminder to let you know that you belong to God and God belongs to you.
Yes.
And not only that everybody around you belongs to him too.
Yes.
Amen. Because we think that prayer will get this, it's the thing that identifies you as a Christian. Whole lot of people pray. Jehovah's Witnesses pray. Muslims pray five times a day. They turn to Mecca, to the east, or wherever they are, five times a day, and they pray. And most Christians don't pray two times in a month. Amen, somebody. Every other religion pray. Buddhists meditate. They ain't nothing but prayer. Confucianism, they pray. Taoism, they pray to their specific God. So then we say, well, it's not prayer. Maybe it's our clothing. I don't think so. Look around this church. pastor and the choir.
Yeah.
If when y'all leave here, when you go somewhere, unless you act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, behave like a Christian, love like a Christian, folk won't know that you're a Christian.
Yeah.
You say, well, Reverend, I got that covered, because Christianity is about the cross.
Mm.
Whole lot of people wear the cross, a rapper gets his award, walk off the stage after they done played his song, they say, blankety, blankety, blank, blah, 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 glue, 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 glue. And then he gets up and pull the cross out and said, I want to thank the Lord for what he's done for me. Thank my mom and my daddy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And Christians do the same thing. So I'm not using that to knock them, because a lot of them came from churches and from their background. But a lot of you all do the opposite. Y'all are wearing a cross, and the cross is convenient for you when you want access to get into something. But when you don't want folk to know you're a Christian, you conveniently take your cross out and stick it down in your shirt so folk won't know who you are in the Lord. Yeah, I got you now. I know I got you now. So communion is when we come together in unity of the church to bring each other together.
Yeah.
Because the church, this is my first point. And I was going to do a whole bunch of stuff up here, but I'm really not going to do all that, but I'm going to do enough. That the first point is that the church ought to care. Look at somebody and say that the church ought to care. See, that neighbor didn't like you. Look at the other neighbor. That person really didn't like you or they sleep. Look at somebody else and tell them that the church ought to care. Yeah, the church ought to care. Yeah, because identity of the church is communion.
Yeah.
When we come in and we take the bread of Christ and we take the wine of Christ, you say, well, that's what really identifies us.
Yeah.
It does not. Because communion is supposed to bring you together in unity.
Yeah.
But do you know that the United Church of Christ and Methodist and Baptist Church and the Catholics, everybody got a different idea of what communion is about.
Yeah.
Some folk got a closed table. In other words, if you're not born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't take communion. I agree with that. But what I don't agree with it is some folk put an age limit on it. They say, well, a child can't take Holy Communion until they get 12 at the age of accountability. Wait a minute. I know folk 22, 42, and 52 who still not at the age of accountability. Jesus said, suffer not your little children and allow them to come to me. So that's the way I believe. That if they got sense enough to understand that Jesus died and that Jesus suffered so we can have the right to come to the table, we ought to allow them to come to the table.
Yeah.
Some folks say, well, it's not that, Reverend. It's all about how we lay out the community. Now, some of us know when we take our communion here, we got pre-practice communion, ain't that right?
Yeah.
And we got that cracker in there. Sometimes I get a fresh one. It melts in my mouth. And sometimes I get one and it's like wax. And I can't wait to get to the blood that was shed for the remission of my sins so I can wash that booger down. Ain't that right? But then there are old school churches who the women of the church still bake bread. And when they have communion, they got fresh bread. It's okay, Reverend, I buy that one. But baby, Mr. Lamont, it's the wine. That's what it is, it's the wine. But see, the thing is, everybody, brother, I just told you, do it different. You go to certain churches, and what they do, like the Catholic Church, they believe that when you bless the elements, that it actually become the body of Christ, right? That the deity of Christ transfers to the elements, and you are actually partaking of the blood and the body of Christ, literally. We believe figuratively, ain't that right? So some folks of the church, they bake bread, and then some folk, they drink wine. Now, we got juice, ain't that right? Yeah, we got juice. But all my wine connoisseur, I really can't think of no expense. All I think of is what? If y'all name some wine, but name some good wine. Don't name no Mad Dog, no Rick. Name some good wine. Y'all good wine. Don't try to move me, man. Y'all drink Cabernet, whatever it is. Yeah, y'all know y'all drink some wine. Yeah, some of y'all laid your wine out before y'all came to church. So when you take communion, you can go home and take communion. I said all that to say this. If we just drinking grape juice, ain't that right? But I guarantee you that if we
do like some churches, they serve one part water and one part wine. That's true, Deacon Terry.
Yeah.
But some churches, they hold to the letter of the law, and they serve real wine. Now, can you imagine if Oxford Grove served real wine? Now, we used to take communion every 3 months, ain't that right? And now we take it every month because Deacon Turner felt like that God led him to bring us together as a community, ain't that right? To show folk that the church can. But can you imagine if Oxford Grove, y'all trying to make folk come to church, go ahead on and go out there and tell them folk that drink wine every day, the Lord that hustle with their basket. You won't have to try to get nobody in church. There'd be so many people in this church, you won't have a seat to sit down.
I'm not right.
But the thing is, they'll still hear the gospel.
Amen.
They'll still hear some songs that they remember mama and them saying.
Yes.
They'll still see the love of some people who, brother, we're glad to see you here this morning. Ain't that right? And nevertheless, Christ will be preached. Now, I didn't mean to act crazy with y'all this morning, but I just want to let you know that the church still cares.
Yeah.
I want to let you know that God is still in the blessing business. Amen? Right? And I want to tell you now that when we come together, we're not supposed to forget what the Lord has done for us. Ain't that right? No, that's why we're here. It's a love feast. What was going on here is that not only is the church for unity, not only is the church caused division, but in this church here, there was a division. Y'all know where the division came in? In that church, in the Old Testament, they met in people's houses. They didn't have buildings like we have today. They met in people's houses that were large enough for everybody to get in the house. Now, just like today, ain't nothing changed. I love Dickie King's study this morning because he kind of laid into it and he backed off. Amen. He talked about some stuff that's going on, and I'm not going to stay that long, but I told you, I'm going to stay that long enough. Folk that were rich, they got in the house. 9 or 10 folk got to the table. Y'all ever had dinner over somebody's house, and they got that long dining room table that only seats so many people, and then if you don't make it to that table, you got to sit at all the other tables, and then if you really don't have no more chairs left, you might be out there on the porch, amen. You might be somewhere, but nevertheless, you got a plate. Well, that's what was going on. The rich folk was letting their boys get the best food and the best wine and the best everything. And by the time the poor folk got there, because they were doing all the work to set it up, by the time they got there, the poor folk that ate everything, they full and they drunk. There was a problem in the church. Y'all hear that? And so now, it's the same thing today that Deacon King touched on. You still have rich people who you pay taxes, and they don't want to give you medical coverage. But the same folk that you vote into office, they got medical coverage through tax dollars. I wish I had somebody. School system who claim they ain't got no money, but they got some money because they get tax dollars, they get money from the lottery, and I go in the store and lot a whole lot of people playing the lottery. You can't tell me they spent all that money. And now every time I look, when my kids are in school, every time I look, here come a list. Send me some glue. Send me a Kleenex. Send me this and send that, amen. And now it's the same way with my grandbaby. They coming home with a list, and then they'll suspend your child and have the nerve to tell you can't have your stuff back. The devil is a lie. If I send something in this class and my kid ain't in this school and you done somewhere else, I want everything that I sent. I want hand sanitizer. I want. But the church had divided. But the church ought to care. Listen to me. When you come to the communion table, no matter what your lot is in life, Jesus died for you. He died so you would have the right to come to the communion table at communion time to remind you of how good he's been. Remind you of how good he is right now, and then remind you that you belong to him. Because you just held Monday, Tuesday, when on Sunday, you just want to know that somebody cares. You want to know that somebody hears you. You just want to know that God's with you. Church should be a community that cares. But there's division in the church. Y'all hear me? There's some things that happen in the church. But it's okay. Because my next point is not only should the church care, but sometimes let's be real with ourselves. Look what the Bible says. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, mm-hmm. that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Stop right there. Paul said, what I got from the Lord, I'm going to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. But we're still in the mindset of me. Mine is all about me. Mm-hmm. When somebody gives you something, yeah. it's so that you can bless somebody else. Mm-hmm. And the reason most folk can't get blessed because you're trying to keep it all for yourself. Yeah. I'm a living witness that if God put somebody in your life, regardless of what you have, if you go ahead on and bless that person that God keeps bringing, you think they complain. You think they just keep showing up. No, God has picked you out to be a blessing for that person. Amen. And when you bless that person, God will bless you in the area that you pray about if you will just do what he said you. Now here it is, second point. First point, what's my first point? My first point is what? What's my point, y'all? Somebody in the congregation, what was my first point? See what I'm talking about? I've been standing here talking about for 10 minutes, don't nobody know. That when you come to church, the church ought to care. Write it down. That's why y'all don't get anything, because y'all sitting up here looking at me, and you ought to be looking at your Bible. My first point is that the church ought to care. Might sleep and slow. Sleep and slow. All right. Second point. Not only should God care, Brother Jimmy, what God does care, because he cares, the church ought to care. But look what the Bible says. It says that same after the Lord was delivered unto him, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and blessed him. So, Sister Sonia, do you get what that's saying? Jesus eating supper with his disciples, Sister Skeeter, on the way to the cross to die. But yet he wasn't thinking about himself, Brother Roger. He was thinking about those of us who were coming behind him. I'll prove it to you. My second point is that you might be broken, but God is fixing so you still blessed. Lord, have mercy. You might be broken in this church today, but I guarantee you that you still blessed. Jesus. Peter sitting at the table with him, getting ready to deny him before the people who was against Jesus. In other words, let me put it in your terms where you can get it. Your sister girl, your homeboy, who always in your car, always in your house, always got your back. Now all of a sudden, there's nobody to be blamed. You in trouble, and they somewhere telling folks that they don't know who you are. The devil is a liar. You know who I am. Amen. And Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, denied by Peter. Now Judas is one who was with Jesus all the time. He was blessed just like everybody else. In the church, Deacon Jerry, had the power like everybody else. But Jesus said in the book of Luke to him that he said, who, one of y'all, gonna betray me? That's right. And they said, who gonna betray me? He said, the one who has his hand in the dish, that's who gonna betray me. Now I want y'all to see this. Jesus, at the table, last supper, know he's getting ready to die. Sharing a meal with his boys. One of them gonna deny him, he already know it.
Yeah.
And the other one gonna betray him. Look what he did. He took. He did what? He took the bread. Listen to me, church. He took the bread. He blessed the bread. And he broke the bread. And then he gave him the bread. Reverend, you just don't know what I'm going to do. I've had a hard time. You still eating one bread. You still eating whole wheat bread. You still eating. I don't care. I'm looking at you. Ain't nobody missing no meal. Y'all still eating up in here. Y'all hear me? Y'all still eating up in here. But you still trying to act like God ain't done nothing for you. You may be broken, but God is still blessing you. I wish I could just preach it like I feel. When you come to the communion table, listen to me. This is what the communion table is. Broke folk can come to the communion table. Folk with money in their pocket can come to the communion table. Sick, you can come to the broken table, come to the communion table. communion table. Broken and yet well, you can come to the communion table. Y'all still ain't with me. Cause y'all still in that bootified way where you think that everybody just owe you something and God just blessing you just to be blessing you. But just for the 10 of you who I have in this church who've been sick before and the doctor walked away from you and you came to the communion table broken, but you still breathe. The doctor said cancer, but you still here. The doctor said diabetes, but you still here. Who got a little money in your pocket? There was a time when you didn't have no job. There was a time when you was in the unemployment line. There was a time when you were eating chip, you were eating skippy, you were eating that peanut butter that just said peanut butter. And God still. Y'all too churchy for me. I got to go. Y'all too churchy for me. The church still care. Yeah, the church ought to care. Last one is that you might feel broken. But listen to me. If you've got God in your life, I assure you that you're blessed. Trial, tribulation, divorce, your betrayal, you still blessed in the Lord. Broken, but I'm blessed. Let me go and say, this is what I'm here for. To let you know, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what he's done for you. Listen, you've had some bad days. You've had some good days. I hear Sister Sarah Covington the other day. Now, I went to see her in the hospital, but when I left, I got to thinking about her, and I remember she used to sing this song, "May the Lord God bless you real good." I never understood what that meant until I was going through something I thought I wasn't going to get out of. And when I looked back over my life, I saw that God has still been blessing me. Now, church, I'm going on to the house of God. Let me close. I didn't get all this study for nothing because y'all ain't listening. Y'all ain't giving. So I'm going on to the house. Remember that the church ought to care. Second thing, remember that the Lord still cares, and you may be broken this morning, but remember that you still blessed. Right? And then Jesus said to them, hear it? He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take. Eat, this is my body, it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, he was, according to Isaiah, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Brother Jeff, I make a mistake all the time. I get happy and I preach. And I preach Jesus, sister, in the grave. Amen. And then I go home and I leave him in the grave. I told my friend, Pastor Carl, this morning, I said, I was looking at my message, and I said, I left Jesus in the grave. Y'all know what he said to me? You ain't got to worry about it, brother, because he already got up out the grave. He said, all you got to do this morning is lift him, and you'll get an understanding of what's going on. Well, church, here it is when we come to the communion table. That the third thing is that the Lord died for you, and that he got up for you. Let me say it one more time. The Lord died for you. And the Lord got up for you. Bible says that the Lord went to Calvary Cross. And he shed his blood on the cross. They took him down after he gave up the ghost. And they put him in the grave. And he was in the grave all day Friday. All day Friday night. All day Saturday. He was in the grave. Saturday night, the devil was partying. Y'all was out there drinking that wine. Y'all was there to mention. Y'all was doing the bump, doing the backslide, doing all that stuff that y'all do on Saturday night. And when you showed up to church looking for Jesus, he had got up out the grave. Not only did he get up out the grave, he got up out the grave with all power in his hand. Preacher, don't ever leave Jesus in the grave. Because my third point is this. We come this morning to celebrate who God is. See, if y'all were at the club, y'all would be waving y'all hands. Y'all dressed for the club. Y'all spend celebration, y'all, is this. Let the White House do what the White House do. Let storms come, let guardians come, let Gertrude come, let them all come. But one thing I know, I serve a God who still can say, peace,